B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Before we get to Willie McGinnis, we're going to get to a couple of calls on the mailbox. I don't want to leave these hanging.
Okay.
Okay. Brian in the car on the mailbox. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, Zoe.
What's up?
Just be putting those boulders out there, be careful, because the town where I live, I put my mailbox, I work for a steel company. It's 4x4 steel posts and 2 feet of concrete. If a plow hits my mailbox and damages, I have to pay for the plow to get fixed.
And it's on your property?
It's on your property. It's on my property, but if they hit my mailbox and break their plow, I have to pay for it.
World, does that do we make live any in? Sense?
Yeah, that makes doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
There's no way.
Tom in Worcester. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Tom,
I'm a little sick, so
sorry,
my voice is messed up.
But,
sorry, pal.
Don't
yeah,
sound
thanks.
Well.
I got your perfect solution for your mailbox problem, though, Zoe. And you actually had part of the
I got a problem
answer
no more.
With the stones and all that stuff,
yep.
But if you find a good stonemason, there's a guy that lives on my street. I'll just be real quick. There's a guy that lives on my street. He's got these two big stone pillars
right
at the front of his driveway. And in one of the pillars, they put...
They carve it out so they can put the mailbox in it. Right.
The pillar.
Yep.
That's nice.
We have a couple of those out by us. Yep.
Why don't you get
and
one
then
of those?
There's no way that the snow being... Because I agree with Beetle and Hardy. They're right about it's the snow being pushed off the plow, smashing that plastic mailbox because... Zyrtec or Zyvec or whatever the hell you call it.
Yeah. Zyrtec, yes.
It's just plastic. It's not going to hold up.
Right.
So have a good day, guys.
All right, Tommy. Hope you feel better,
so
pal.
Tom is suggesting you get some stone, maybe brick pillars built at the edge of the driveway, one on each side. That'd be nice.
Well, I had a plow guy email me. He said it's errant on the – it's bad job by the plow driver. He said if the snow is that heavy and that much, he's going too fast if that's causing that type of damage. You can control where it sprays, and you do it at a slower pace. Takes you longer, but he's just trying to get through there. So he said it was negligent by the plow driver.
I say you bite the bullet and you spend what? I'm thinking between $7,000 and $12,000
yeah.
Having two big stone pillars put at the end of the driveway.
If you could put,
and the mailbox goes in one of those
some kind
stone
of,
towers.
You know what I think you really
I'm kind of
some
digging
lions
Hugo,
on the top? I think that'd be a good look too.
That's
if you ever go to
majestic.
You ever go to Florida and they have the dolphin ones, like the full dolphin?
Yes.
Like the bronze chrome
classy.
Sucker, that thing's nice.
How about a pineapple?
No, then that's where weird stuff starts.
What? Key parties in the suburbs?
Key parties in the suburbs.
Just send
heard
a message.
Haven't sent a message yet.
To the neighbors with
kinda
those
waiting.
Pillars.
So the best thing about this with Hugo is, you know, house has been there for a while. So at the bottom, the little drip edge, the wood drip edge is starting to get a little soft in some parts. So I took Hugo around the house.
The drip edge?
Little drip edge at the bottom of your, like I have wood clapboard at the bottom, some parts of the house, where the water, the last thing that drips off, there's a little drip edge. It's like slanted little piece of wood. A little soft in some parts. Hugo said he could fix that. Him and his buddy. Come here and do it one day. He said he'll also put that Tyvek stuff in.
Yeah, they're going to put the Zyrtec in there.
Zyrtec or Avex or whatever the hell that's called.
Hugo's now your guy.
Now my guy for a lot of stuff. And I said, keep doing this. We're going to find lots of good stuff.
You got to make sure that bottom piece of siding is not actually touching like the decking or the ground or anything. There's got to be some spacing
there's
in there.
3 feet. Three feet to the ground.
You got 3 feet between
so that and then concrete?
Yeah, just all concrete.
Foundation.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Beetle and I come out there and take a look at it. We're pretty handy.
Look at that. Do some stuff.
We bought a lot of stuff at that Lowe's when it was going out of business. We're pretty much good to go.
We probably have the supplies in our basements right now.
Throw some stakes on.
I still got some of my car I never took out.
We do that. Hey,
swing by in the summer zone, Hugo hanging out by the pool.
Speaking of summer.
And Hardy and I know your net worth, so we're going to charge appropriately.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of summer.
$9 million,
and I know Michael Felger. As we listen to Felger and Maz listens to our show, said he listens every day. This from the National Weather Service in Boston.
Okay, let's hear it.
Just off their Twitter, even the seals at Great Point on Nantucket are encouraging people to get out and enjoy this beautiful day here in March and soak up that sunshine.
Oh.
And there is a picture of what looks like over a couple hundred or a thousand some. Seals just hanging out on the beaches now of Nantucket.
That's where they live.
Which is the, it's just the food for the sharks.
It's like the swallows returning to Capistrano.
This is awesome.
That's nice.
Yeah, you keep protecting those sills, Felger.
Good.
So sharks are coming to Nantucket now, too, which is good.
They've always been there.
Not like this. You see these. I mean, they're like, look at the amount of sills. This is crazy. It's good hunting season right now. Not a lot of people on the beach. You can't see it. Get out there. Get rid of these things. That's our first shark segment of the year.
Yeah, I don't know.
Starting to get there.
I don't know if that would really.
I mean, if there's this many, there's this many sills there now, wait till it gets real, real nice out.
Okay.
It's a lot.
All right. 617-779-0985. Willie McGinnis on NFL Network yesterday expressing his opinion on how Rob Gronkowski may approach the season.
Have you talked to Gronk recently?
I have not.
Okay. Any insight whatsoever? Drew Rosenhaus said yesterday that he truly has not made up his mind.
I think Gronk's going to take a break for a while. I don't think he's going to...
Like a whole while?
I don't think he's initially going to start off and come back. I think he's going to figure it out. And I think later on, and this is just my own assessment, later on deep in the season, he could possibly come back and play.
I want to make sure I'm clear with what you're saying. You're saying that you don't expect Rob Gronkowski to go to camp?
No, I don't think he's going to play. I think he's going to start off the season by being retired. And I think he's going to get the itch. I think he's going to be in great shape, and he's going to probably have that feeling that, hey, I want to come back and
like
play
a
football.
Jason Witten kind of thing, like take a not full year off,
but not a full year.
So is this like a veteran where I don't want to go to training camp?
I don't think
let
it's
me
training
come
camp.
In
he doesn't
later?
Mind work. He doesn't mind work at all. I just think at this point he's not going to make a quick decision. I don't think he's going to make a decision in training camp or in the summertime. I think he's going to let his body heal up. I think mentally. He's not football right now. Like, I'm not ready to put on the pads and go out and get ready for football.
Deep into the season, he decides to unretire, come back to football. I hate this plan. I don't like this idea even a little bit.
Yeah, it really tells me Willie's hearing something, even though he says, I've not talked to Gronkowski.
Maybe he didn't
talk to Alex or Rob's representation.
The next question is, have you talked to anybody who has talked to Rob Gronkowski?
He's very good friends with Brady. Willie doesn't see that thing for me. Willie doesn't sling stuff against the wall. He just doesn't talk out of the side of his mouth. He does his homework, does a good job at what he does. I think he's one of the best analysts, if not the best one on TV. Pretty detailed. It's not Jaden. And you heard Andrew Siciliano, or whatever his name is, ask him, you know, is this like Jason Witten? No. Not the full year. You know, deep into the year, not go to camp. And he said he doesn't mind the work. A lot of information there. Very detailed. Pretty specific there. And Willie was the first guy to introduce Brady to Alex Guerrero. So Willie was the one to find Guerrero. And this is also, I think, you know, Willie at the end of his career had the same, you know, size as Gronk, long, tall, strong, but had the leg and back problems at the end of it. And maybe this is what he would have wanted to do, you know, when he went to Cleveland to have a nice contract and instill that type of culture in the locker room there when Romeo Crennel took him there, that I could see Rob wanting to do that. I should have done that at the end of my career. It's kind of lines up with it. Two premier players that maybe could have worked with the team more to sort of have an understanding. And I don't want Rob to do this. I don't, because I think Rob's the type of guy, if you get him away from the game, he's going to be away from the game. Like, he needs to be there. He needs the locker room. He needs the guys. I know people are reading in him selling his penthouse apartment down here. I think it's more of a crash pad. I think Rob's growing up a little bit. You know, he did away with the bus, did away with all the partying. He's got the girlfriend and Nicole and
Camille.
Camille.
He did away with the
Camille,
bus. I see the bus
Camille
all
Kostek,
the time.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, who said he did away with the bus?
But he's never in the bus.
Yeah, he hasn't been in that bus in a while.
No, it's like sponsorship.
It's like
sponsor,
they rent it out.
It's a Red Bull sponsored bus or whatever it is. Whatever.
You can rent
Rockstar
it.
Rockstar or something like that.
Yeah, yes.
You can rent it to be able to say, I rented the Gronk bus.
It's always in Warwick. All the time. Near the airport.
Shocker. Cheese Ball Central.
Shocker that it's out in Warwick.
It's getting 12 dudes.
It seems like the type of town for that.
We're at Gronk's bus. We're 12 dudes, man. My mate, Anthony and Chico, and check us out. We're warring.
All right, more on this. Will Rob Gronkowski retire and sit out deep into the season? Willie McGinnis thinks that's a possibility. We'll get to your calls coming up as well. 617-779-0985. Right now, we check in with the guys in the desert in the action update.
Here's the action update. Action update. And also check out the Over Under 98.5 podcast on our 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Action update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard. at Indeed.com/hire. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Le'Veon Bell to the Jets. Odell Beckham Jr. to the Browns. Yes, their moves had an impact on the NFL futures here in Las Vegas. At the Westgate, the Jets went from 100-1 to win the Super Bowl to 60-1. The Browns went from 30-1 to 14-1. The Patriots and Chiefs are the 6-1 co-favorites. At the A-10 tournament this afternoon in Brooklyn, UMass is a 4.5-point favorite against George Washington. At the Big East in New York, Providence opens a 1-point underdog against Butler. For the latest odds all the time, visit vsin.com. From Las Vegas, I'm Ron Flatter. This has been your Action Update on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Tales. Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I have a question. With the money that continues to get spent in free agency, at some point, are we going to look at the deal that Trey Flowers got in Detroit, $18 million a year?
And say it's a good deal.
And say it's a good deal.
No.
And will that in turn make the Patriots look bad for not paying him?
No.
I think I might be getting there.
I mean, I don't.
Can the answer be yes? And
Do you want to hit breaking sound for this one? Because it doesn't affect the Patriots, but it's a team the Patriots are going to play.
No,
it's
a yes or no question. What do you mean yes and no? What?
He can be properly paid, and the Patriots made the right decision by not paying him.
If he's properly paid,
he could be underpaid, and the Patriots still made the right decision.
I would not want the Patriots to get close to even get in the ballpark to what the Lions gave up for Trey Flowers.
Why?
Because I don't think
not a good player?
I don't think he's
critical to their defense.
He's good for their defense. Again, like I said 3 days ago.
Have you ever said, you know what, we need Trey Flowers to take up 10% of our cap?
No. No,
I don't think I've ever said that about anybody.
Asking that question, Ed. I mean, we're talking about this because Baltimore signed somebody today. And I got nothing on this. Like, what crack are you smoking? What world do you live in? You lose Eric Weddle? He's probably going to retire. You sign Earl Thomas. Now, I don't have a problem
Earl Thomas, who is about to turn 30 years old,
who broke his leg and was contemplating retirement. Now, don't throw it at me. I know Nick Foles was going fishing, was going to think about retiring this. Earl Thomas got tired of hitting people and said, I just want to finish down in Dallas.
Earl Thomas.
Sign me, Dallas.
Intends to sign a 4-year, $55 million deal. With $32 million fully guaranteed with the Baltimore Ravens. Deal includes $22 million paid out in the first 9 months.
The hell is wrong with Baltimore? This guy's not even in the prime of his career. He's on back end. He is
going right.
Whoo. You got McCourty as a deal then, boy. You got Devin McCourty as a deal.
I just want to say this. Chris Gasper hinted that maybe the Patriots had asked Devin McCourty for a pay cut.
I wouldn't pick up the phone.
A year ago, they floated the idea possibly and were told no. And so nothing happened. They're not getting rid of him.
If you're McCourty, if you're Hightower, you pick up the phone. The only way, I'll restructure. I'm not taking less. But if you want to guarantee me more money up front than this year,
And if you think that there's a way that maybe they could give him a pay cut now, forget it. Forget it.
Earl freaking Thomas. Good player. That type of contract should be signed 3-4 years ago. Like, he in his prime. Super Bowl 49. That's when that dude was in his prime. Had a couple injuries after that. He ain't same type player. Now, like that, that's a game changer you're playing. So now all of a sudden he becomes a game changer. They lose Mosley. They lose Weddle. They lose Suggs. And you replace him with an aging safety. Going to pay him $29 million.
My God.
I don't even know what to say. I don't. Good player. Saying about Earl Thomas. Don't hate the market then, right? Or don't hate the stupidity. See, I don't know. Everybody, whoa, other teams are stupid when they sign it. Yeah, this is a dumb one. This is dumb. I can understand Antonio Brown, OBJ, going back. This is like that type of deal for that. I think Trey Flowers' money's crazy. This is the new NFL. Caps going up. TV, revenues, money. Good for them. Good for old Thomas. Well, I thought he was on his way out. I thought he was done. Remember, he was trying to direct himself to, hey, Jason, come on, man. Come on.
What did we say the other day? 2 years at $30 million, and we laughed?
Yeah. And you asked me to repeat it so you could laugh again.
Remember that?
I can't wait to go to Baltimore this year. We play at Baltimore this year. That's right. Good. They'll be averaging about 13 points a game at that point. Jesus.
He's going to get $22 million in the first 9 months of the deal. That is insanity. Again, but if that's the going rate for Earl Thomas coming off a broken leg at age 30, well, then Trey Flowers' money is looking better by the day. And just in the scheme, in the marketplace, in the grand scheme of the NFL.
And the upside, the amount of years in the prime of the career and the youth of Trey Flowers, you'd rather have Flowers than
You're signing
than
Flowers Thomas. As a pass rusher, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're signing. That's where the marquee money comes in is because he's a pass rusher, right?
Edge pass rusher.
Where is he in the NFL ranked as a pass rusher? Is he in the top 10?
Are you going based on what, number of sacks?
No, no. Your opinion of the top 10 pass rushers in the NFL, is he in there?
I think he has the ability to be top 10, but he's never going to be cut loose in this defense to be
a
guy that puts up those big numbers that you look at in that way.
I don't care about the numbers. No. Just in your opinion, your top 10 pass rushers. You're thinking top 10 pass rushers.
Ability?
You're thinking J.J. Watt. You're thinking Clowney.
No.
You're thinking Khalil Mack.
No.
You're thinking Aaron Donald.
Joey's Peppers, Aaron Donald, keep going down. Yeah. No. Right.
That's why I don't pay him the money.
D4, Justin Houston, keep going. No. The answer is no. He's not a household name.
Do you think that Trey Flowers has the ability to J.J. Watt?
No.
See, I think you might be wrong there.
Like, is Shaq Mason the top right guard in the NFL? He might be, right?
Could be, yeah.
So they pay him. Brady, they'll pay him. Gronk, they'll pay him. McCourty, when they signed him, he was one of the best safeties in the league.
Buffalo paid their center $11 million a year. Like, and it's like, who is this? Never even heard of this guy. Is he the
but
best
again,
center in the league?
You're basing, top in the
signs.
League based on contracts signed in previous years. Is Earl Thomas, where's Earl Thomas ranked now in safety money? Is he number one now?
No.
Who is?
Tyrann Mathieu, and there was another safety that both got $14 million.
Okay, Tyrann Mathieu just signed that deal this offseason, this week.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Landon Collins is the other one.
Is Tyrann Mathieu
million.
The best safety in the league? No, he's not.
Top five.
I really don't know who is. I don't. I think they're all kind of the same, you know.
But there's a question if Trey Flowers is even in the top 10 of pass rushers.
Almost Earl Thomas is getting paid for his reputation as a leader in that secondary in the Legion of Boom with Chancellor and, you know, Browner and Sherman. Like, Earl Thomas is getting paid for pass. This is like Pro Bowl stuff. Like, you get to go to the Pro Bowl because you're popular. Like, Earl Thomas is a household name. You think, you go back to guys like T.J. Ward when he went to Denver. But, man, that money for Earl Thomas?
Do you know what I wonder about things like this with Earl Thomas? Who is the second team? Who is next closest to the Ravens? I always wonder that. Every time we get one of these big major deals, I'm like, who was second? Who came in second in that sweepstakes?
Who Denver signed? That 1 year, $10 million.
You know, day one, guys like Trey Flowers, you know what the market is. You know what the numbers are. Who hits the number? Okay, Detroit hits the number. He goes there. There may not have been a concrete second offer.
To your point, how does that number?
Because there didn't need to be. But with a guy like Earl Thomas, who had the second best offer?
Right. How did that
I always
last?
Want to know that.
And who did they do? Because how does that last today? And how does that not get announced during the illegal tampering period? Or legal tampering period? I can't even say legal tampering. It sounds weird.
Mark Ingram off the board. He's found a new team.
Oh.
Going to the Baltimore Ravens as well.
3 years, $15 million.
It's a good deal. It's a good deal for them. You like Mark Ingram?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
I always like Mark Ingram.
Why?
Thought it. Flint kid.
Okay.
Is that why? Is he from there?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I don't know that he's completely lived up to the hype coming into the league, but I think he's a good back.
Now I want to see what the Bolden number is, if Ingram's only five.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. If that Bolden number is somewhere in the range of what? What do you
think
it's
over
be?
Three, then they paid too much.
They should have just went, they should have got Mark Ingram. If you were the New York Jets, you should have been more in on Mark Ingram than Le'Veon Bell.
Thank you.
That's the type of move I like.
Yep.
Go after Mark Ingram.
But
that's,
you know what
fine.
It does?
That's more
puts
than enough.
You know what Le'Veon Bell does, Beatle? He puts people in seats.
Terrific.
Yeah.
What does that get you?
Because when you share that stadium where you flip the switch and it goes green on those Sundays,
oh.
You get Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, you know what the Jets would have been better off doing? Signing Mark Ingram to that deal, 3 at $15, and then continuing to spend on defense.
You know what's
or
corny?
On a receiver.
You know what's one of the corniest things the Jets
someone,
do?
Someone that their young stud quarterback can throw to.
Do you know what the
down the field?
You know what the Jets do on game day?
What?
I never even told you. It's like one of the cheesiest things. Bob and I can't get over it. So we're sitting there, and like 2 hours before the game, when they come out warm up, and they come out. You know how they come out in groups? Or Slater comes out, coming out next, your New York Jet kick returners.
Yeah, and everybody's like, oh.
And now the New York Jet defensive backfield. They all come out and are high fiving. Here come the receivers. It's just, what cheese ball world do we live in? That's what Jet football has come to. You got to jazz it up. Yeah, you got to go out and get Le'Veon Bell, make a splash.
Yeah, the other team has a nice running back, number 26.
Yeah.
You
got to
go get
one. We got
one.
Yeah, we got to get one too. Yeah, that's the ticket.
I already see it on Twitter. Who's the best running back in New York? It's already making headlines.
Oh, is that a poll on WFAN? Let's put the poll. Let's put a poll question up. Let it last for 24 hours. If you, all you football fans, who has a better running back, New York Jets or New York Giants?
Let's go to Tim in Milford. Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. Love your show.
Thank you.
Real quick, thinking about the Gronkowski thing, if he did hold out for part of the season, wouldn't they free up some money and maybe give that to Edelman?
So that would have to be a plan, though, Tim, between the team and the player.
Yeah.
Like, they'd have to be able to come to an agreement on it.
Hey, Drew Rosenhaus.
And that's not what Willie McGinnis is describing. He's saying Gronk is just going to flat-out retire, and then he'll consider coming back deep into the year. If the team doesn't know what his plans are and they don't have, like, a defined plan, it's going to be hard to sort of, you know, take his money and do the calculations of how much it's going to count on the cap and then, you know,
prorated money. And that's something.
Yeah. And by the way, if they want to give Julian Edelman a bump, they can do it anyway. They don't need
that
to happen.
Wouldn't that be something by the team, too, if maybe Willie was hearing this? That they
but Tim's right.
Said, hey, Rob, why don't you retire? Like, we want you to say you're going to retire. We're not going to give you an increase in pay, but here's how you're going to get your more money.
Tim is right. He won't. His full number won't count against the cap.
I want you to come back week 8. Okay, so just come back week 8. You're going to retire. We're going to bring Bennett back. Okay, we're going to draft a kid.
Hey,
we want
hey, Gronk,
you to know.
We're not going to ask you to take a pay cut. We're just going to ask you to play half a season.
We're going to save that money, and then we're going to whack two people when you come back.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It is an interesting angle,
that'd be
Tim.
Good
Tim, it is an interesting angle, and it's a good point.
You want to know who came in second for Mark Ingram?
Yes.
The Saints, $4.5 million a year.
So he elected.
They got Latavius Murray. They have Alvin Kamara. They were going to pay him $4.5 million.
So his deal was 3 years, same length?
Doesn't say the length.
Okay, well, then that's a factor, too.
He probably got more. Again,
yeah, it
what's
depends
the
on guaranteed money. And
damn years. Give me guaranteed money like Girl Thomas. Like, that's all you need to see.
Hardy has our
aging
headlines.
Safety making. Oh, my God.
We'll talk to the head coach of the Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens, at 12:50 today. And also today, the woman who was attacked by the Jaguar is speaking for the first time, Hardy. She's been granting interviews. She's now denying that she reached over the barrier.
Oh.
Isn't that shocking?
What's her name? What's her name? Do we have a name on her?
She will only go by her first name, Leanne.
Ethel.
Leanne.
Looks like an Ethel.
She looks like a Leanne.
Leanne.
Yeah.
Hardy has headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
All right, so some more moves here as the NFL league year is set to begin in 3.5 more hours, but the latest, Earl Thomas, going to sign a 4-year, $55 million deal that includes $32 million fully guaranteed at the Baltimore Ravens. That includes $22 million in the first 9 months. Also, Ravens making a move on former Saints running back Mark Ingram. He plans to sign a 3-year, $15 million deal. It's all coming on the heels of the Odell Beckham Jr. trade from the Giants to the Cleveland Browns, and Le'Veon Bell getting ready to sign a 4-year, $52.5 million contract with the New York Jets. Bruins lost a second straight game, this time 7-4 to the Blue Jackets in Columbus. Ended a streak that Tuukka Rask was on, 16-0-3 in his last 19 games. B's road trip continues tomorrow night in Winnipeg. Celtics off again tonight. They'll host the Sacramento Kings tomorrow night. And I don't know if you guys heard this earlier, but there is a new sponsorship for the Red Sox, and this one extends up to Boston.
Yeah, what is it? Carriages Chuck, and strollers and,
yes,
and like?
Nuna, the leader in luxury baby gear. Now the official stroller brand of the Boston Red Sox.
Oh, yeah, real brand of the people there.
Well, you can pick yourself up a, like, a let's say the Nuna Mix and Pippa Light.
How much are those?
LX Travel.
Hey, Pippa.
Well, yeah, yeah, hey, yeah. Pippa. It's a combo.
Yeah.
It's $1,000 for the stroller and car seat.
That's becoming a thing, you know.
Stroller only is about $650.
What if you buy all the
You can get
all the
stroller or a mailbox. That's what you can get for that money.
What if you buy all the baby stuff? And if the Red Sox sweep in a World Series, you don't have to pay the baby stuff.
That's
in terms of the expensive strollers, we were an upper baby family.
Wow, that's a lot of money too.
And they were gifts.
Or Bob stroller. headlines are brought to you by Oakers Company. Make the ideal educational investment this year with Epson's reliable line of laser projectors for your classroom or auditorium. Exceed your vision at Oakers.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines, 30 minutes.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you could clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Brad Stevens coming up at 12:50. Jason Myers, Jets kicker on the move, went on Instagram a couple minutes ago, said, "Thank you, Jets fans. I had a hell of a year in New York. I'll truly cherish my time there, and it will always hold a special place in my heart. You welcome me and my family with support and love, and I'll forever be thankful." Mike Reese mentioned Jason Myers as a possible replacement for Stephen Gostkowski, if Stephen Gostkowski were not to re-sign in New England. So Myers is apparently signed somewhere. Where? Where has he signed?
Mm. So Robbie Gould got franchised. Jim, who's the guy signed for 1 year? Got highest paid kicker?
No, for the 5 years. Will Lutz, the Saints. 5 years, over $4 million a year. He's the new highest paid kicker in the NFL.
It's Christmas.
So, I don't know, something to consider. When Reese threw his name out there, what? Was that Sunday? The Sunday morning notes? I don't know. Just something to think about. Where is he going? He's obviously signed somewhere. We don't know where, but he's saying his goodbyes to New York. There's no word yet on a return for Stephen Gostkowski to the Patriots.
Reese said, when the Patriots were preparing to play the Jets, Belichick noted Myers' strong leg and how it would be challenging to get the kickoff return game going against him. 73% touchback rate.
Is that good? Compared to, where is that ranking?
I don't know. He missed three extra points, though.
Oh.
Missed three field goals, though.
Were they in the final game of the year? That's the question. Were they in the final week of the year?
See, it's amazing.
But Reese starts this by saying, Gostkowski's success rate on field goals beyond 40 yards has dipped in recent years.
Which means if you're spending big money on a kicker, don't you want use your strong leg?
Strong leg bull.
Use your strong leg. 617-779-0985. Joe's in Providence. Joe.
Yo, what's going on, boys?
Yo.
What's up? I got a couple points. Real quick, you were talking about the Giants and the Jets. Sometimes on Fridays, I got to go out to Greenwich and Stamford for work. I have to listen to Francesa. He's so perfect for out there because he has to talk about all those pitiful teams, and he's just on the, well, you know, the Jets are looking at this guy. I mean, what a sad state of affairs for the city of New York for just, you know, these sports teams to just all be in the gutter at the same time. I love every second of it. Anyway, the whole thing with the Patriots that I've been really thinking about with this whole Matt Patricia experiment going on in Detroit right now, which obviously didn't work out last year, do you think that anyone will ever be able to recreate what Bill has done? And my point being for that is thinking about post-Bill. Because if McDaniels is going to be the guy, we've seen so many guys leave here and talk about trying to implement a program like the Patriots had here under Bill and everything like that, and no one has had success.
Yeah.
Is anyone going to be able to follow up on this? And that includes the locker room and managing right. the cap and everything else.
Well, it's the gut too, right? And here's the thing. Can he carry over with Caserio? Can Caserio stay? And can Caserio understand the way Bill would make a certain decision at that time? When do you walk? Right? Like the Flowers point. Would Josh get, you know, over and over like, oh, we gotta retain this guy. I don't care what we got to pay, Nick. Find a way to get this done. Or does he have it in him to where you could sort of emulate Bill's gut, and that's hard to do, to be that cold, get calculated?
Can I give the short answer on this?
It's going to be different.
The short answer is no.
Yeah.
No, nobody's going to be able to replicate this.
All right.
No one's going to be able to do exactly what it is that he's done. No. And I'm not talking about winning six Super Bowls or the accomplishments. I'm talking strictly about what he has set up here.
Yeah.
No, I don't think anybody else is going to be capable of it.
Is he back now or is he still
in Barbados? Do you know why I think a lot of these guys have gone elsewhere and have failed? Because it turns out they're not that good. Matt Patricia, not that good. Has anyone's reputation in the last 12 months taken more of a hit than Matt Patricia? He leaves New England. He goes to Detroit. He has issues with players. Doesn't deal with the media well. Shocker. Called that one when he was here. Freaking out on the conference calls. Doesn't deal with the media well. Doesn't deal with his own players well. Has all kinds of issues there with all the losing that goes on there. And meanwhile, back in New England, Brian Flores becomes the de facto coordinator. He's not even named coordinator. They don't even give him the title. They don't even give him that respect of giving him the title.
Well, Greg Schiano has it.
Yeah, which is a joke. And then in 1 year, Brian Flores makes the defense look so much more aggressive and so much better than it ever really looked under Matt Patricia. And I don't think that this defense in 2018 for the Patriots had the most talent. Not even close.
Nope.
Not the most talented defense. And we've got breaking news.
Is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What is it, Hardy? According to NBC Sports Boston, Jason McCourty will be re-signing with the Patriots. That's it. No contract.
Money?
Years?
No
terms.
Anything?
Oh, now we do have it. 4-year deal, did you say, Jim?
Four?
Just say it.
2-year deal.
Oh, 2-year deal. Like 4 years.
What?
All right, Jason McCourty, after having a really nice season.
Nice player.
Didn't have it. Everybody else jumped on it, though, and says 2 years, 2 years, 2 years. All
okay.
The writers.
Okay. So they send out the text message from the office down there at the same time.
Everybody on the same line? Ready?
Garofalo got the text first, apparently.
Oh, he did?
How do these beat writers get beat with this stuff?
Maybe their phone's in their pocket or their phone's somewhere they can't grab it right away.
I think
who took typing in high school? Who can do it faster?
I think it's a prerequisite to be a beat writer in Boston, not just for the Patriots, but like Red Sox guys get smoked on information. They basically live with the team.
McCourty, Jason McCourty, that is, 2-year deal, back to the Patriots.
That means his brother's still playing, no retiring, all that stuff. They're good, good.
I'm not surprised by any of that.
Well, you got Schiano, you know, understanding the system.
I mean, it just makes sense.
Harmon, McCourty, Chung, keep them all together. Gilmore. Yeah.
Right? I just think it makes sense.
Yep.
He had a good year.
Yeah.
And
he surprised me. And I'm a guy at the beginning of the year that said he should have been. I didn't understand why he was on the team. Just based on his preseason. He had a terrible preseason.
Made a great play in the Super Bowl that he doesn't want to brag about because he had blown a coverage on an earlier play.
I thought that was Jonathan Jones.
Did you know that?
I thought that was Jonathan Jones that blew that coverage. He was the inside slot guy in that. Jones blew it because McCourty's the backside guy.
McCourty's not looking to take a lot of credit for that play because he had blown it earlier in the game. So he's kind of keeping on the DL on that one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you couldn't ask for guys that just, I don't know, embody the Patriot way and work ethic more than the McCourtys, right?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, God, the best. So that's good. That's good news. I'll take that. I mean, it's not an addition. It's not adding anything, but I think it's good that they're going to bring that guy back.
Start talking about kickers. And
you know. I just think they've got good depth in their secondary. I think the Patriots do. It's one of their spots where they got good depth. And especially if Duke Dawson ever makes it onto the field.
Don't you feel like J.C. Jackson's going to really step up?
Yes.
But just in case he doesn't, they have McCourty.
Yes.
That's J.C. good. Jackson, good fallback. McCourty,
or if Duke a guy Dawson, gets hurt, you've right. got good, you know, you've got good depth there.
Right. They love
Injuries
Dawson.
Happen.
I'm telling you. They love Dawson, too.
The Patriots did really well on the injury front last year.
Running back and defensive back. That's their two strongest positions on a team. Along with linebacker now, where we thought there was going
to
be holes.
Let's talk to Brad Stevens, head coach of the Celtics, right after this.
So, at the Beatles.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics. Fresh off a trip to the West Coast, Brad Stevens is with us. Hi, coach. How are you?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey, Coach, what the heck happened on that plane ride out to the West Coast everybody's talking about? Perfect timing for your team to come together?
Yeah, I don't know that it's anything magical. I just think it's spending time together and realizing that, you know, obviously things hadn't gone well post-All-Star break since we had been back, getting a chance to go and get ready to play Golden State. Prepare with a good practice and a good walkthrough. You could sense that we were going to play a lot better. It's disappointing that we weren't able to play a little bit better on Monday to end the trip. But for the most part, I thought we did a pretty good job, and hopefully we can build off of it.
So I know that you would never share with us a conversation that you've had with a player, because we've tried to get that out of you before, and you just won't give it up. But what can you tell us about your involvement on that flight? Because I know a lot of players have said, well, Kyrie talked to Coach, and then, you know, he talked to us, and it was just a great bonding moment, it sounds like. What can you tell us about it?
Well, it sounds like you've got it. So you've already figured it all out. That's what happened. But it wasn't anything – again, it's not anything magical. I think, you know, ultimately, you know, we meet and communicate every day. You know, I always kind of get a kick out of the team meeting thing and you know, the plane rides, and you're always interacting. That never ends. Certainly there was a little bit more just kind of sitting down, taking a load off of everybody's shoulders and saying, okay, we're in this together, and we got to make sure that we're all doing our part to make it the very best it can be. And, you know, I think that that's part of team. And I think we will look back and say, that ultimately that trip was a positive. And certainly, you know, those interactions on 6-hour long train rides could be a good thing. You know, we all talk all the time about how, you know, people interact a little bit less than they used to, with all the different devices they have in their hands and everything else. And it was, you could tell there was a real, point to spend time together on that plane to try to just make ourselves feel a little bit better about where we were headed.
There was a lot of talk after those back-to-back wins, first against Golden State and then Sacramento, about which one was more impressive. Did you feel more impressed by one over the other?
I did not think we got Golden State's best game. Klay Thompson didn't play. I didn't think they were as good as I've seen them play before. That said, I thought we were really dialed in. I thought we would have been tough to beat that night regardless. The next night was really tough. You come back, you know that you're going to get a great shot from a really good team who we play again tomorrow night. Really well coached, you know, connected fast, you know, constantly put teams on their heels, and you got to do it on the second night of a back-to-back without, you know, your best player. And so, I thought that that was a good win. I thought the Golden State win was a good win. But I wasn't judging those results as much as making sure that, you know, we're coming together. I said before the trip, after the Houston game, the root of our problem is being connected and playing together. And, you know, we came a little bit closer to what we need to be. Now we have 1 month until the playoffs start, and we've got to, you know, tidy up all the little loose ends.
We've talked to you about this before, you know, playing in Boston, coaching in Boston, how special it is, the organization,
yeah,
everything that goes with it. Do you feel at times that your players feel like the scrutiny and the coverage of the team and you're under the microscope is a little too much at times?
You know, I don't know. Maybe, I mean, that's probably good questions for them. To me, it's, you have a responsibility here to do two things, play as a team and give your best effort. Everything else takes care of itself, and I think everybody here appreciates teams that do that, regardless of result. Obviously, you know, we've been really fortunate to be able to, since that trade in 2013, build back up to be very competitive. And but the reality is when you're coaching the Celtics, you know, and you get to the Eastern Conference Finals, that's not what people are you know, holding. That's not where the bar is. And we all get that. We all know that. I think we all appreciate that. I know we all appreciate the responsibility to play and coach here. But you know, I'm older than them. And you know, I've been a head coach now for 12 years at two different levels. And I think some of that stuff you get used to. And you realize, like, you know, I think we all realize that when the games aren't going on, there's got to be something to talk about. Because, oh, yeah. and we also all realize that that's why we all get paid well to play or coach a game, and because people are interested in it. And so that's okay. That's all part of it. And the bottom line is we just have to focus on us and play well. And some of it, I think sometimes comes across as not too far from the truth. Sometimes it's just noise and it doesn't have any real bearing or much validity to it, but we all recognize that that's part of it. And you know, there's a responsibility that we have to, the media as well, because again, people are interested in it and we get rewarded for that.
Jason Tatum out the other night with the sore shoulder. What's his status, and is that going to be something that lingers or something that will probably be taken care of soon?
Well, I don't know. We're practicing at 2 o'clock today, and I have not gotten any report yet from our training staff. They're down there working on it now, whether he will practice in full, whether he will do just portions of practice, how it affects tomorrow, et cetera. I don't know yet.
Talking with Celtics head coach Brad Stevens. Brad, there was an incident, not with your game the other night, but with Russell Westbrook in Utah. And I'm curious to know if you've ever, as a coach, seen a fan or heard things that fans have said to players that cross a line. And do you think what happened the other night in Utah, is that a common occurrence in the league, and maybe other fans who are watching at home just don't realize it? How often do things like that happen?
Well, I haven't really read up on that as far as exactly what was said both ways. The one thing that I will say is 90 to 99% of the time, you know, we're used to getting heckled or yelled at or whatever the case may be, and it's really harmless. And then there are some things that, you know, cross the line. That's very, very rare, at least in my experience. And maybe that's just because, you know, I'm down towards the scorer's table where it's, you know, there's people working the game where I am. Whereas sometimes with these seats being as close as they are in the NBA, especially on the end of the bench, you could see where there could be things said and there could be issues. But I'd say most of the time, people don't cross the line, at least in my experience. But I have certainly heard, you know, a thing or two over the years that, you know, that make you turn your head and say, did you really just say that?
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like in your sport, the players, coaches, everybody is very much exposed. I mean, the fans,
yeah.
I think the fans have too much access in the NBA. I think it's too close. It wouldn't be a bad thing to create some separation.
But again, I think we all understand that if that's the super, super small percentage let's clean that up. Let's make sure that we do a great job of educating everybody on not crossing those lines. Yeah. But again, that's why I think the NBA is so popular, because our players are so accessible, and you can see every reaction they have. They don't have a helmet on, they don't have a hat on. You can see their reactions. You can, everybody can talk about them, and everybody, most of the interactions, I'd say, again, 99% of the interactions between fans and players are terrific. And there are a few hecklers that go over the top, but, that's also, you get used to that. I think most of the time you just don't even listen to it. And then you do hear the one or two that you're like, again, did you really just say that?
On the lighter side of that, if it's going the other way, has anything ever dropped you in your tracks and made you almost spit out your water or crack on you at all?
No, there's no question. And there are some cities that you go into and you know it's coming.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just part of it. And I'm sure Boston's one of those cities when, the opposing team comes, the opposing coach comes. But you know it's coming, and you get, again, most of it doesn't cross the line. And for that doesn't cross the line, I think you do get a good laugh out of it. Sometimes you get a back and forth out of it. Sometimes you end up just, quietly and jokingly jabbing back at the person that's giving it to you, especially if they're in one of those front row seats.
Yeah, you almost have to respect somebody who's going to do their homework and is going to take the time to heckle you about your sixth grade English teacher who failed you on that paper on To Kill a Mockingbird. It's like, I got to give it up. You're right.
I will say this. If people are concerned about that in the NBA, go to college. Totally different.
Yeah.
Totally different. You get in your rival's gym in college, and it's a totally different scenario. I've been called things and said things to me in the NBA, but it's nothing compared to some of the gyms I coached at in college.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Plus, I went to ACC, so yeah, Maryland.
I can believe it, because you've got a lot of kids. You've got college kids that have zero moral compass.
Yep. Drunk and stupid. No way to go through life, son.
Some of the things that we yell probably out of line.
Yeah. The things that they'll regret later in life. Coach, appreciate the time as always.
Welcome home.
All right, guys. See you.
All right. Brad Stevens with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
We used to have horrible stuff at Bobby Knight when Indiana played at Michigan State. Awful. Awful. And sometimes you would get sometimes you would get the glare.
I remember Chris Washburn played for NC State, and he stole radios and these records from actual records. And I remember when he came out to warm up down in Maryland, they threw record jackets all on the court, and everybody was holding up boom boxes in the student section. You get after it pretty good. Good stuff, yeah. We got a lot of cheaters in the ACC. Duke, Carolina, we went at it pretty good with them. Those are fun games to go to. He's right. Those college games, man, they go nuts.
I can't remember what the number was. We used to chant Ramil Robinson's SAT score at him when he was playing for Michigan, because he got 38 on his SATs or something.
I thought you got 100 for writing your name down.
Yeah, I mean, it was absurdly low, especially for getting into a school like Michigan. But, yeah, it's a little more personal.
I'm going to find out what his number was. Now I want to know. All right, we'll get to the headlines here. 90 seconds, no commercials. We're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.